As far as sermons to date this year, actually going into last year, we have made now an extended effort to lay a strong foundation. Okay, we base this all off of 1 Corinthians 3:11. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. And toward that end, we have now spent some 3 months plus, 13 sermons in all. Aiden, Bruce, myself, we've shared these messages. Jesus gives us hope. Jesus prayed. Jesus had run-ins with authorities. Jesus sets us free. Jesus loves, so should we. Jesus forgives, so should we. Jesus trusted God. Leading like Jesus, the mission Jesus has given us, Jesus and mental illness. Jesus related well to people. How Jesus handled temptation. Jesus is worthy of worship. And last week, Jesus has defeated death. There is no greater foundation for a year of sermons or a church family or our homes or our families or our lives than Jesus. So with that foundation being laid, we begin to build next series. You might say, well, what might be a next solid layer? Prayer. Me talking to or talking with God. You know, we will have 4 sermons. We're going to use this graphic set, the tagline being the power of a prayer. If you read it all the way through or you see the designation with the lines and the colors, the power of a prayer, which could be you. So the power of a prayer, the power of a person praying. And we're offering this series alongside this 40-day Draw the Circle devotional effort. If you're participating in that, most of us started last Monday with day one, and the day one reading coincides with April 1st and 2nd on through. You know, so we'll have, what, like 10 days in May. You know. And as far as the background slides for the sermon series, when you see the one that's kind of purplish, reddish, the quote graphic like this, then that's going to be from the book. Okay, those are the ones when I've pulled out notes from this book by Mark Batterson. This is an extra copy. If somebody wants to take one today, I'll leave it up here front. You can still download it, Kindle, and catch up. We could probably still order even more books, and you could catch up with us. But 4 sermons, 40 days. And over the course of these 40 devotionals, Mark Batterson, he's going to touch on 40 different aspects of prayer because there's so many facets. There's so many angles. Can't cover all of them. I'm kind of grouping things up as I read the book with you. So for this is like a summary sermon of the first week, ideas that I pulled out from days 1 to 7. And this morning I have chosen dancing. And specifically in my mind, I have as like a working illustration, ballroom dancing. As kind of an explanation. Maybe you saw Dancing with the Stars. If you're like, what's he talking about? We'll give you just a short clip so we can all see and visualize the same thing. It's just not real long. How is prayer like dancing with God? Here's the first. Staying in hold is critical. It's crucial. Right? Throughout that clip, every couple that you see on the floor is in constant contact. Okay? If you back up in the video, when they're introduced and they come out from behind the curtain, they are holding hands at the beginning and they never let go. If you ever watched the Dancing with the Stars show when they had the head judge, lead judge, Lynn Goodman, before he passed away, and he would often be critiquing the couples, and he would remind them, You've got to stay in hold. In prayer, it's the same. We have to be constantly and consistently in contact with God. Everybody has something that's powered by a battery, and those terminals get corroded, and the battery loses contact, and you lose power. And the first day, the first verse that Mark Batterson will quote is Acts 10:2, talking about Cornelius, says, "He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly." And that's where Mark says, five words tell me everything I need to know about Cornelius. He prayed to God regularly. He goes on, he says, Scripture doesn't record exactly when or how he prayed. It doesn't reveal whether he prayed in the morning or the evening. It doesn't tell us what he said or the postures he prayed in. It just says he prayed regularly. And when you pray to God regularly, irregular things happen on a regular basis. So the question is, have you been able to establish a consistent prayer connection? Are you staying in hold with God? Now, dancers of all stripes put in hours and hours and hours of dedicated practice. Our own Ava Bowman is a very accomplished dancer. So I asked her mom, I said, how many hours a week? She said, 10. 10 hours a week of practice. You know, those are all costumes from just 1 year of numbers. If you establish a prayer routine, your life will be anything but routine. And I read that sentence and I thought immediately of Daniel and a lion's den. Many are familiar. It is a not very routine kind of day. Well, what sort of a prayer life had Daniel developed? This is Daniel 6:10. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. I could see Mark Batterson write, six words tell me everything I need to know about Daniel. Just as he had done. And we will touch on the different responses, the outcomes of prayer, because I understand you might be feeling like, yeah, I don't feel like I'm escaping the lions right now at all. You know, so that's granted. Okay, understood. Just for now, all we're saying is stay in hold. And truth be told, you might be dancing for a while. So Luke chapter 1, Zechariah, the priest, is serving in the temple, and he has an angelic visitor who gives him this message in verse 13. Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. Which is, might be familiar to some of us. And if you were to ask, which prayer was heard? It sounds like he was praying or they were praying that they might have a child. How long ago do you think that was? They were praying because she's up there, okay? I like Luke has Zechariah very wisely saying, I'm an old man and my wife is advanced in years. Because he'd been married a long time. You know, and he knows how to say that. And I seriously doubt that he's still praying that Elizabeth would get pregnant. They're praying that they can be used by God. But it's been a long time. So my encouragement to you is stay in hold. God is always preparing us and positioning us for divine appointments. Prayer is the way we discern the next move. The plans of God are only revealed in the presence of God. Constant prayer, concerted prayer, holding on to both and. There's the every moment of the day style of prayer. People say, I just, every thought that I have is a prayer to God. Great, keep doing it. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray continually. I talk to God all day long, stay in hold, wonderful. And just as vital as that is the longer focus, the Matthew 6:6, Jesus saying when you go, pray, go into your room and close the door because you're going to be there for a while. You know? And like Cornelius, we don't need to share everything with everybody. I don't need to know every posture and every detail. Just find your place and your way and your time, and stay in hold. Pray regularly. You know, prayers are heard. All of our prayers are heard. And Mark Batterson says, hey, my prayer batting average is no better than anybody else's. I swing and miss a lot of times. You know, but you have the confidence that I am always heard. Your answer might be no. But you have been heard. And I thought again of ballroom dancing and those partners for hours practicing. Do they talk? I'm sure they do. And I trust that they are heard. The Dancing with the Stars TV show concept would at times pair up a celebrity with little to no dance experience with obviously a professional who dances all the time. Do they talk? I'm sure they do. Does novice celebrity ever have a suggestion? Hey, we should try this. And I will venture from time to time they are told, no, that's not going to work. But the thing is, they're heard. And you can plug that into any relationship you want. Marriage, employer, employee, player, coach. You know, generally in that, in some setting, one might have more knowledge. But does the other feel like they've been heard? You know, in prayer, as in dancing, it is vital that we stay in hold. We have consistent communication. Who leads is a question. In that video clip, there are many changes of direction. Sometimes he's moving forward, sometimes she is. Sometimes you feel like you're walking or moving backwards. You are. And the question, you know, who's leading? At the end, the one girl's spinning around in circles. Who's leading? And Denise and I have taken some dance lessons. And I was taught and I was told to lead. They said, now Denise may be moving forward, you know, and she might get to the spot first, but you lead her. Especially when she's dancing backward, you know, she's trusting you. And we would come here to the church and we would practice in the basement where all those posts are. And she's been here. She knows where the posts are. And she's trusting me as I'm driving her around backwards, you know, always being in hold. Can be nerve-wracking. And when it comes to the question of prayer as dance, who is leading? And the mature believers will be very quick to remind you, God leads. Proverbs 16:9. In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. And sometimes you just feel the urge to, I got to lead on this one, God. I need this today. And I want you to be ready to do this for me tomorrow. And I looked in Acts chapter 1 when the disciples feel the need to replace Judas and they pray about it and they say, Lord, show us which of these two you have chosen. And I wanted to look back and I thought, is there a specific verse that says, and God said, gentlemen, we need a replacement. And to be fair, in 120, you know, they're looking at the scripture, they're saying it's being filled from Psalm 109:8, let one take his place. You know, but I was looking at it, I didn't find something from God said, well, you know, we have to have 12 because it's an even number and 12 tribes, and it would have been clearer for that, but I'm guessing that Peter heard something, you know, they understood God leading. Because we could give a number of situations in scripture where people just ran ahead of God and they took the lead. Moses killing the Egyptian taskmaster, running ahead of God. Abraham and Sarah, who themselves were trying to have a baby, and they arranged it, and they said, God, we'll take the lead on this, and they worked it out and had problems. Pretty typically, I will make the argument, you try to take the lead when you're dancing with God, that's bad form, and it's quite possible you're going to stumble. And I don't want to confuse leading with asking. I don't want you to walk away and go, so you're telling me in my prayer time I'm not allowed to ask? No. Feel free to ask. You know, and yes, he already knows. If you want to make a suggestion, please do. The distinction here, you know, there is certainly room for telling God, this is what I want. This is how I feel. You read the Psalms. David does that repeatedly. This is what he's mad about. He's pouring it out to God. Moses moves God to change his mind. What I'm trying to stay away from is that idea where, okay, God, I'm going to choreograph everything for us. I've got the whole recital laid out. Here's the dance. I'm going to lead over here and you're going to do two miraculous spins and fix this. You know, and then I'm going to lead you over here and you're going to dip down and you're just going to change this family member immediately. You know, I got this. I'll lead. You know, follow is better. We have a wonderful example of Jesus in the garden. We've looked at it the last couple weeks where Jesus prays what? Not my will, but yours be done. And Jesus very clearly tells God what he wants, what he's not happy about. You know, he is engaged. He is in hold. And he's still willing to submit. And it will get worse before it gets better for Jesus. The book says it is unbearable to try to do God's job for him. When we try to make things go faster, like Moses in Egypt, we usually slow things down. When we try to make things easier, things usually get harder. Don't try to manufacture your own miracles. Don't try to answer your own prayers. Don't try to do God's job for him. Stay humble, stay patient, stay focused. Prayer is staying in hold and following God's lead. And sometimes the dance is not for the faint of heart. We will add that sometimes it hurts to dance. I don't know if Amy said anything to Ava, but I talked to Ava's mom about all this, where I got all my information. You know, and I said, 10 hours a week? Yes. Does she ever get physically tired? Yeah, she does. And I bring that to your attention because Ava's not even in high school yet. You know, she has that boundless energy that some of us have lost. But she gets tired. And I took it a step further and I didn't ask. I said, I wonder if it's possible she's ever gotten hurt. And then I looked on Facebook and I said, well, look, she's got a crutch right there on stage. You know, I'm pretty sure that's a prop. Like that was part of the costume, you know, and I don't know if you can see her face right here. That may not be Ava's favorite picture to put, but hey, you guys know if it's on Facebook, it's fair game and I just put it up without asking, you know. I do know on more than one occasion with like the Dancing with Stars couples, somebody got hurt. Either the celebrity or the professional, they either had to be replaced or withdraw. There might come a time in your prayer life when you feel like, I just want to be done with this dance. I don't want to practice. Get me out of this. This hurts. Which again, we hear you. We understand that. But quitting is not when or how you grow. Mark Batterson wrote this past week, sometimes we need to pray, get me out, and sometimes we need to pray, get me through. And we have to be able to know the difference. I have often mentioned Betty Cates, dear member, passed away, bad back. And she said, I prayed like Paul. I said, what do you mean? She said, I asked God about it three times and I quit. Paul had that thorn in his flesh, something physical, maybe with his eyes. He prayed this, 2 Corinthians 12:8, three times. I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. In verse 9, God hears him. God says, no. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Paul learned in that setting, I'm done with the get me out prayer. Now it's got to be get me through. And Mark Batterson said, if we're completely honest, most of our prayers have as their chief objective our own personal comfort rather than God's glory. I don't know if that strikes a nerve or if you remember that day, if you read it, but he will go into there the story of one 12-year-old Eli Tiller, young man who as a toddler took a chair or something up to the window, pushed the screen and fell 13 feet to the ground where he suffered traumatic brain injury. Left side has very little motor skill to this day. Says he speaks with a severe stutter. And he walks with a pronounced limp. And his parents, John and Tricia, have prayed and prayed and prayed, but the answer to a prayer for complete healing to date has been no. And it says, John and Tricia have come to the same realization, the parents of the man born blind, John 9. It's like, nope, nobody sinned to cause this, but this happened that the work of God would be displayed in his life. And now they pray, get me through. Sometimes the purpose of prayer is to get us out of circumstances. More often than not, the purpose of prayer is to get us through. And sometimes you pray deliverance prayer. We have been studying Queen Esther and her people on Wednesday night, and they are praying, get us out of this, because we're going to be killed if we're not out. But oftentimes, we pray for grace to sustain, strength to stand firm, the willpower to keep going, make it through Jesus in the garden. There is a big difference between praying away and praying through. We're often so anxious to get out of difficult, painful, or challenging situations that we fail to grow through them. We're so fixated on getting out of them that we don't get anything out of them. We're so focused on God changing our circumstances that we never allow God to change us. And then I like this. He said, instead of 10 to 20 years of experience, we have 1 year of experience repeated 10 or 20 times. Am I still practicing the beginning dance steps because I quit every time something starts to hurt? I'm going to guess that you're a little bit aware of this eclipse thing that's going on tomorrow. Scheduled for tomorrow. I say scheduled because you just type it up and everybody has a picture about it. That's the first. And God keeping all of this in perfect balance and predictable order. And we have very scientific, capable minds who can put all that together. I just typed in NASA my zip code and they said, here's what you're going to see, when and where. And in our prayer book, Mark Batterson reminded us that this planet is rotating at about 1,000 miles an hour. I don't know if you feel dizzy. Said it speeds around the sun at 67,000 miles per hour. We are moving. Said, when's the last time you got down on your knees at night and prayed, Lord, thanks for keeping the planet rotating? We don't doubt God's ability to keep the planets in orbit, and we have a difficult time believing he can keep our lives in orbit. Sometimes it does hurt to dance. But God will never waste any of that pain. Often it's through the hurt and the tears that I grow the most. Stay and hold. Let God lead, even when it hurts. And the last one that I pulled out for this morning was, there comes a time when you have to walk out on the stage. Specifically thinking of competition. You know, whether it's Ava and her team, maybe you and your partner have been practicing hours practice, and the costumes have been sewn and fitted, and the lights have been positioned, the audio's queued up, text ready, and the announcer calls out your name, and the curtain opens. You can't wait in the wings forever. And here's one where I don't disagree with Mark Batterson, but I offer a clarification. There was a place where he made a statement that said, the beauty of obedience is this. It relieves us of responsibility. And I understand what he's saying, but I thought you gotta be careful on that. You could use the money example. I obeyed. I gave God 10% like he told me, and he said, test me in this. So God's now on the hook for the other 90%, right? Okay, God, make, and I will agree that God can make the 90% go further than the 100 when I give to him. But I'm not saying that, well, hey, I gave 10%, so now I can take some of the 90 and be stupid with it. That doesn't mean I can spend 25% on stuff I know is sinful or this addiction or this habit and then get mad at God. Say, hey, what's the deal? You know, it's like, I gave you your 10%, so do your thing. You know, so just that clarification of I still have responsibility to manage well. But back to, I'll take a deep breath. Step out on stage. And the story that Mark Batterson told was of the farmers who gathered to pray for rain. Now, we're not going to do that right now because we've had enough rain. But this was 50 years ago in Mississippi and a severe drought, and the crops are on the verge of being lost. And the area farmers said, we need to get together and pray. And they all gathered in a local church to pray. And the story says only one of them showed up wearing waders. You know? And as you would guess, he is the only one who went home dry. You know? God is honored when we act as if he is going to answer our prayers. We can pray until our knees are numb, but if our praying isn't accompanied by acting, we aren't going anywhere. You know? And some of these monthly outreach efforts, we started 2 days ago, having people here ready. You know, if little kids want to come, and be babysat. You know, those are stepping out kind of things. So there's a little magnetic whiteboard right around the corner. You can rearrange ball fields and parking lots and shelters on the field there. That's kind of praying for rain and putting on waders kind of stuff, right? Stepping out ahead of time. That's taking a deep breath. I'm going out on stage. It's one thing to pray like God's going to move. It's another thing to act like he's already moving. And I love this. It was in the quote of the week site. God is in control, but he does not expect you to lean on a shovel and pray for a hole. And the devotion that I shared Tuesday, and then Mark Batterson wrote the same thing here on day 7, the willingness of those priests to step into the water, which again is timely around here. We've all had an opportunity to step into water. And if God were to come to you and say, I want you to step foot in the middle of this raging torrent, and when you do, then I'll make the water stand up. You know? The people of Israel did get to cross on dry ground, but it was only after the priests already got their sandals wet. You know? And I don't know if are you too worried about keeping your shoes dry. You know? Oh, I'm with you, God, but I just feel much more comfortable. You go ahead and just stop all the water, then I'll step out. This is the dance that is prayer. It is partners in hold. It is you and I in constant contact and communication with God of the universe. And we have to be willing to let God lead. And yeah, there's some times when that means you're going to be facing backward, but you're still moving forward. And that can be scary. But we can trust God to lead. There will be times when dancing is tiring. Even when it's enjoyable, the most enjoyable. I'm sure you could ask Ava, take a trip, convention, competition, trophy, success. Great fun, very enjoyable, super exhausting. God will provide the strength. It's time. Step out on the stage in prayer. So we've talked long enough. The practicing or the coaching, that's wrapped up for now. How do I normally end? Usually I pray. So I'll just be quiet here for a second, and you go ahead. You pray, and I'll just say, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.